What was the turning point? What made you go, I want to go professionally in music?
Well, I was in my clinical experience in Haworth, and I started integrating all of my lesson plans as like a song. So for math, we were learning about triangles, and I made this like song about acute and obtuse triangles, and all the kids just loved it. And I sat there, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just...
You're being a great teacher.
So, well, thanks.
I mean, really, right?
And, you know, I'm still considering that as my backup plan, which, you know, okay, as a musician, you always have to have a backup plan. And that's something I definitely plan to finish and pursue in the future. But, you know, while I have the opportunities now, I figure, hey, let's have some fun.
The song Patience.
Oh, interesting.
Is that about the choice you made?
Yes.
From it is.
Yes. It's absolutely 100% about the choice I've made, because this is the first album since that choice. And one thing I'm really bad at is being patient. I'm starting to learn to be patient, because good things come in time, and I'm starting to realize that.
What's a Tom Hanks movie?
Castaway.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
I love that movie.
How did the band itself, Alex and the XOs, how did the band begin? How did it evolve into what it is now?
I picked up a ukulele at a friend's house, I would say my sophomore year of college, and it just kind of flowed for me. It's a very easy instrument just to pick up. I feel like anybody could just grab it and write any song from the beginning. I never wrote songs before. I never sang, like I said, and the ukulele kind of was the facilitator. You know, my friends and I would just go on the quad in between classes and jam. You know, people were starting to enjoy it. I was having fun, and so I decided, you know, maybe I'll try some open mics or, you know, do a little bit of shows here and there. So I played at, you know, the coffee house and some of the introductory places around town, and I'm a big marching band nerd from high school. Okay. I really enjoy, you know, the synergy of working with another person musically. So I found, you know, my best friends who happened to play, you know, guitar, bass, and drums. I had no idea what I was doing, but they did. So they kind of helped me progress to learn how to work with other people as, like, you know, a rock band instead of, you know, a marching band. So we wrote a full-length album and an EP with that lineup. And then, you know, everybody was graduating because they were a little bit older than me. And I decided, you know, I really want to keep doing this. And so I had different people kind of come up to me offering to be a part of the band, which is when Trenton Perry, our mandolin player, came along. And I thought that would be really interesting to add some mandolin to it in like an indie pop rock alternative sense. Then we had our friend Joe Brandenburger on drums and Storm Angon on bass. We've kind of decided that we're going to do this as our thing in life.
The album opens with the song Honestly. Is that you talking to yourself in your head?
Yeah, definitely, because I'm a big, big mess. And that's kind of me telling myself to calm down and to just do what I love and to not think too much about it.
The lyrics themselves on a lot of the songs, they seem intentionally vague.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is I like to be a little bit vague so that when someone else listens to it, they can see themselves in that situation I'm like a very indecisive person, and anybody who knows me like knows I can't make decisions, which also helps being in a band because the guys help me make some of these decisions. So like writing these songs, it's like me putting out all my choices on the table and going back and forth. And then usually when the album's done is like the first time I actually listen to the song, and I'll be like, oh, so now I know what I should do about this. So
the ukulele has been like the hip instrument recently.
I guess so.
How did you come to the uke?
You know what? I didn't even know about ukuleles other than from Tiny Tim and from SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, like I love Tiny Tim, even though they kind of like made fun of him.
How did you find out about Tiny Tim?
Oh, I grew up with him. My mom used to like when we had like, you know, our Jeep, we had a cassette player. She had like Tiny Tim and Smashing Pumpkins. And those were like the two bands that like I was like in my car seat, like just jamming to, you know.
Smashing Pumpkins and Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. Yeah. And tiptoe through the tulips. You couldn't get more different than that, could you?
Told you I'm indecisive. But yeah, the ukulele, it's like so happy and like vibrant, and you can do kind of anything with it. You can make it like a lead guitar sort of thing. You can do, you know, chords, just like, you know, a guitar or anything else. And I like to plug it into my amplifier, and I have like a chorus effect. And so it kind of gives it this shimmery, like, overtone. It makes it a little bit more unique.
The latest album, the self-titled album, it's full of angsty lyrics. Did you write all the lyrics?
I did, yes. Well, our past member, Ryan, he also wrote some parts of some lyrics, but for the majority of the songs, I write the lyrics just because the other band members are doing, you know, harmony vocals and things like that. But everybody else writes their own parts, so we all do our own thing and come together as a collaborative effort.
Are you an angsty person right now?
You know, it's funny because, like, in person, I feel like I try to be friendly and, like, I'm just like, you have to balance yourself out in some way. And I guess music is the way that I balance that, like, angsty, negative, like, part of me, but in, like, a positive way, I guess. It kind of helps me work through those downs in my life through the music that I write, so I don't have to, like, let it out in person to other people. So I found it as, like, a really good tool of kind of discovering myself. Is it true?
You can tell I almost hesitate bringing this up because we have this issue in the blues where a lot of the women in blues are like, don't do any more articles on women in the blues, you know? We're just blues players like everyone else. But it is an issue in the music business, isn't it? Because females are not proportionally represented, certainly as musicians themselves, but, you know, even as vocalists. How do you deal with that tension? Or is there a tension, maybe not within the band, but within the business itself for you?
Honestly, I have had really great opportunities myself. I haven't had too much happen except, you know, when you're on the road and you go to different communities is when you kind of see this come out. You know, when we're loading up our equipment for shows, guys will be like, oh, are you sure you can carry that in? I've worked through it myself, and I know other women in the scene that have had problems, you know, YouTube comments, you know, appearance type stuff. For the most part, I've had some really awesome experiences and opportunities, and people who have come into my life in the music scene, the underground, you know, DIY music scene. We are a big part of the couch surfing community. We have bands that stay with us whenever they come through town, and they do the same back. And all those guys are wonderful, and they, you know, they don't look at me in any other way.
couch surfing industry? is it all social networking?
Well, you know, I didn't even know about couch surfing until our most recent tour to the East Coast. I was a little bit afraid because the idea to me of a website where there's just people on there that are willing to have you stay at their house for free is just like, it's kind of mind-boggling to me because not a lot of people just want to open up their homes. So you automatically think, well, they either must be really weird or, you know, you get all these ideas. And then we actually really loved couch surfing because we tour with 6 people, a videographer, and at the time we were a 5-piece.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people that, you know, need a place to sleep, and that's either 2 hotel rooms or, you know, trying to beg someone at, you know, at a show to let us stay at their house. And that's just a lot of people to ask, you know, to host. So the great thing about couch surfing is that you can, like, message all these people to, you know, ask if you can stay in a certain city, and then they'll approve it ahead of time. So you can kind of make it a part of your, like, schedule on tour.
Okay.
And they already are expecting you. You have their address. And every single person that we met on Couchsurfing, I'm still friends with on Facebook. They're all absolutely wonderful. That was actually, like, one of the best parts of tour. We stayed at some farms and, you know, Greensboro and some a cabin in, where was it, New York, upstate New York. We really enjoyed that more so than the hotel, and just kind of meeting new people and experiencing their cultures.
Is it almost like a bed and breakfast? Well, they'll make breakfast for you too in the morning?
Actually, everyone made us breakfast
really?
In the morning, every single person, which, like, blew my mind. Like, so much hospitality for – they just didn't have to do it. And it just kind of, like, makes you think that there's, like, hope in the world, that people are actually wonderful beings, and there's people out there that – care and want to support, you know, musicians.
Well, it sounds like you've given me one answer already, but you mentioned you've been on 3 separate tours already. What have you learned about yourself going on tour, and what has the band learned about itself going on tours?
I think a lot that we learned is planning. Thinking about every separate little thing when you plan, we've learned everything about each other. Because imagine, you know, 2 solid weeks together in a Dodge Durango, you know, going, you know, 9 hours at times in a car together every day. You learn so much about one another. You learn what makes them tick. You know, you learn about their lives, their families, and it kind of brings you together more on stage in that way. Having that, you know, private time together, it makes you lock in more when you're on stage, and you're able to progress so fast as a band after you've toured. You play better because you get each other more.
It's a whole lot of fun. Your energy is amazing. It's
oh,
very
thanks.
Infectious, so I can see how people would want to rally around you and work with you and for you, I would imagine.
Well, I appreciate that, John. Thanks so much.
Well, congratulations. Alex Fisher of Alex and the XOs, good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for talking, yeah.